6:00 p.m. We are having a work session here at the Sturgis Community Center. And it looks like item first is a presentation by North Consolidated Special Services.
Are the microphones on?
What's that?
Are they on?
Yes.
Okay.
Good evening, Council Mayor. We had a hash and trash presentation that I believe the invitation out to all of you, Councilman Miller was able to attend. It was just kind of a brief overview of what the district does, what we are doing. I serve on the North Point Board. I brought today Roger Harper, the director of the North Point Solid Waste Special Service District, and Craig Collin, our councilman. And they're just going to go through an abbreviated version of that presentation. It would just be good information for you guys to have and just kind of see what we can do there. So, with that, I'll just jump that over to those people.
Thank you very much. My name is Craig Hall, and I have the privilege of representing most of the dumps in the city. They're owned by governmental entities, and like all of these dumps are in. So, I get paid for talking trash, so here we go. We appreciate the opportunity to be here. Councilmember Miller, what did you learn at Hash and Trash?
That we are facing very heavy challenges regarding recycling.
And we're going to talk about that. That's the end of the presentation. Other than that, what did you learn and what questions did you have?
I really didn't know a whole lot, but I learned where the transfer stations are, where we're sending them out, where we have to send them in.
Very good. It's more of a difficult process than just putting it out on the street and not worrying about it as long as the hauler comes by and picks it up on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever the day is. My responsibility tonight, very briefly, is to talk about what is a special service district and kind of the history of the North Point Solid Waste district and how it came to be. The district is approximately 35 years old. It was originally created, and we have a number of communities, cities within Utah County. Utah County originally created it, and then invited many cities to be in it, including Provo, Orem, and cities north and south. So it was really a district for the entire county. But over the time, because of needs and growth and I think some politics, Provo went south and took with them everybody except Spanther Basin. Basin has their own landfill. And North Point, the new name of the Utah County Solid Waste Special Service District, took as all of the communities were toward the north. Now, a couple of communities in the last 10 years have dropped out of the district for various reasons. Fairfield dropped out. We have landfill right next door to them, and plus our construction and demolition landfill right next to them. Also, they didn't feel they need to be in the district anymore. What is the special service district? It is a political subdivision of the state. It's recognized as all the powers of municipalities, except it does not have the power to tax. We only charge fees. We pay a fee for your refuse to come to our transfer station and to our landfills. They're in Utah County here. So, it is created by a governmental unit. We have a board of directors presently, I believe. Roger, help me, I think we have 12 members.
Yep.
12 members in our district. We meet on a very regular basis. Dax is our representative from your community. He's well engaged, and I wanted to say that tonight because we appreciate the engagement. You all, here, you probably have the opportunity to sit on many, many boards. You see members that some are engaged and some are not. And we feel it's very important that our board members are all engaged. And that was one of the purposes of our Hash and Trash breakfast a couple of weeks ago, where we invited all of the cities to participate in the district to come together with all of our representatives. We had two representatives come from the state legislature and the House, and we felt that was important because we have some bills at the legislature right now that will affect landfill operations within the state. So, we have a special service district, and it's an opportunity for cities to get together for a common purpose and, frankly, a reduction, we hope, a reduction in expenses. Right now, North Point is at our landfill. It's probably levying the least amount of money of any landfill in the United States. We're at $10.50 a ton. If you go east of the Mississippi, it ranges from 60, 70. The further east you go, the higher the cost. I've seen the conferences we've attended, I've seen the tipping fees as high as $150 to $200 a ton. Can you imagine what your local, your individual charge would be to pick up the garbage when you're off your curb if it's $150 a ton? So, North Point and our partners at Bayview do a great job. So, we represent in North Point most of the cities in the northern part of Utah County, or basically north. Again, the district currently employs two executive staff, Roger, an administrative assistant. We have 15 transfer station staff. How many of you have been to the Linden transfer station? What's your experience? Good experience, lots of experience? How long was the line when you had to wait for it? God bless you. Don't go Saturdays at 1 o'clock. Don't go Saturdays at 1 o'clock. We moved the transfer station, or moved the scales a couple of years ago from the front of the landfill by the transfer station over to the backside so we could have a longer staging road. Because Saturdays, and Roger's going to talk about this, Saturdays are just unbelievably busy. So we have four landfill staff out in West Utah County, out by Fairfield, where we run a construction and demolition landfill. So we have a transfer station that is owned and operated by the district. We have construction and demolition landfill that's owned and operated by the district. And we're also a partner with three other counties. And entities within the county under an interlocal cooperative agreement called Northern Utah Environmental Resource Agency. We call it NEERA. We're partners with South Utah Valley, ourselves, Transjordan, which is basically the south half of Salt Lake County, beginning with Murray, Midvale, and going south, excluding Harriman. Harriman's not part of Transjordan. And then we've got Davis County, Wasatch Integrated Resource, which is basically Davis County minus Bountiful, who has their own landfill. And Weber and Cache County are also part of New Era, but they do not participate in our project in our landfill on the west side of the Utah Lake. They have their own projects up in Weber and Cache County. Cache County and Logan just opened a new landfill up in Clarkston, where we just started operating last year. Any questions about a special service district, what it does, and what's the purpose? We ask you to be actively involved. We'll let you know if DAX is not doing his job and time to get with the program. But we appreciate his service, and he's really great on helping us with numbers and keeping the budget in line, doing our very best. So, thank you. I'm going to come back and talk about subjects in a little bit with Rogers.
Thank you, Craig. I'm Greg from the DAX. He serves as the chairman of the operating committee. We're going to use a whole bunch this year. So, But just a little bit of history of North Point. Our district, Craig alluded to earlier, was created in 1976 by Utah County. Maybe four southern cities left the district. In the 1980s, we closed our landfill where our transfer station is now and started shipping our garbage by rail to ECDC landfill located in Carbon County. In 1994, we built Building B, or the public building, which is ahead of it. Just for information, there's twice the size of the commercial building to handle the public. And in 2001, we changed the name from the Black County Celebration. I came to the district in 2004. We were shipping by rail and having a lot of struggles with the rail. In 2006, we changed over the trucks. I started shipping to a landfill in Florida County versus the one in Martin County. In 2012, we eventually bought the construction demolition landfill out of Clearfield. We operate that today. We own that. In 2013, the city to the district entered into a renewal for the river to the contract for services and transfer station. At that time, Alpine is 40 miles from the district. In 2014, Craig talked about the era, being a big tractor oil program, and the find solutions that solid waste situations to the state. In 2016, we bought the landfill out in Alberta. In 2018, we started shipping the garbage to Alberta. This is our transfer station. If you've been there, you come in the front gate, that's what it looks like. And if you come in the back gate now, so it's not really what you see when you come to see it. Some of the services that we provide, that's the inside of our public building where people come and unload. On the right, we have our green waste. Collect and process and ship green waste to composters. We also do electronic recycling, cardboard plastic recycling. It's our compost. And on the bottom right, we have a household hazardous waste collection site where we collect and process household hazardous waste that our citizens can bring their household hazardous waste for free. We're going to take the process there. I get phone calls every day from folks about can you take paint, can you take chemicals, can you take. The answer is yes. Will it cost me anything? And the answer is no, as long as that's all you bring. If you bring your household hazardous waste and a bag full of trash, it costs you $9. So, the process, the collection and processing of household hazardous waste is free, but trash is not. But then again, if you bring household hazardous waste with your garbage, we're going to pick up more garbage and have 6 or 8 or 9 or 10 cans of paint in there, and we don't charge it into it. It's all part of that. This is the build. This is Building A, or where our commercial trucks pull in and unload. Where that excavator is sitting, there's a hole in the floor with top load of the trucks. They pull underneath and we top load. It takes us anywhere from 6 to 10 minutes to load a truck. We have garbage on the door, so it doesn't take very long. We can process, if the garbage comes into us, probably 1,000 tons a day, without much trouble. Currently, we're doing about 700. This is another shot of our green waste collection out there, and that's our construction and demolition pad where we're taking construction, demolition, and then transfer. This is a picture of our construction demolition landfill out in Cedar Fort. All of our garbage is hauled in these trucks, MDI trucks. We're a big garbage transport company. We're based out of the Chicago area. We work from 900 to 1,000 trucks a day on the road hauling up in the garbage throughout the country. So we're inadequate for garbage. What that truck's on is a tipper peel back into that and unhook his trailer and pull just a little bit of weight and pick up that would dump garbage out of the back of the truck. And our compactor, it's down the bottom, take that, and work it in the line.
So is that only for construction debris?
Yeah, just construction debris is that, yeah.
Is there a different rate on that?
Yeah, our rate out there is $9. It's on that there.
But that's, you have to take it to that one place.
Yes.
Where is that located?
It's in Fairfield.
Wow, Fairfield. Yeah. If you take it just to the regular transfer station, it's still in the same price.
Well, no, at the transfer station, our typical fee is $25 for construction debris. So that pays for the transfer, the loading and transfer, and getting it out of the line. This is the baby landfill in Alberta that we talked about. Picture, see Utah Lake in the foreground out there, the background out there. This is the current operating cell that we're working on. We're taking right around 27 and 800 to the day at that landfill today.
So I can't tell by that picture. Is that a pit?
That was a pit once upon a time. That was a hole. There was 80 foot down. You see that fence that surrounds it? That's
yeah.
A 40 foot high fence. So.
You got a dinosaur? We're happy to have him come out there.
So that we have currently have about a year and a half worth of life left on that cell. We'll go up another probably 4 lifts where that is. And then that hole right there, that's the new cell that we're digging currently.
And are you?
We will wind
it in and selling the material or what?
No.
So
we stock it on site because we have to have it.
They oh,
cover.
To cover it.
To cover it, yeah. So.
And then you wind it.
And we wind it. We'll wind that cell, we'll see in a minute. We won't see the wind, but then we'll wind that cell with an XTP liner so the garbage is encapsulated. In theory, we'll dump a lot. We can't leach it down into the groundwater. That's how it looks like. This little bit to talk about in here. Like I said, it was an interlocal agency created in 2014 where six solid waste entities joined together to find solutions. We have two board members from each district that sits on that board. We need five managers. And the managers of the respective districts, I sit on the operations and maintenance committee. Just kind of direct what's happening at the line. Okay. This map kind of shows you what we're doing. That first star, that's where our transfer station is. There's our landfill in Cedar Valley. And there's our landfill down in Alberta. The load of the transfer station take Pioneer Crossing and come to that intersection. Pioneer Crossing and Redwood Road. From there, they can either go to Cedar Valley Landfill, which is about 29 miles from our transfer station, where they can go south on Redwood Road to Bayview Landfill, which is 37 miles away. Before we started shipping to this Bayview Landfill, we used Wasatch Regional Landfill in Tooele County. It was 103 miles one way to ship our garbage.
Is that on rail, though?
No, it was on rail.
So when's the last time you used rail?
2006. And it was about 103 miles east of us.
And the reason with just
railroad,
they feel
railroad. So couldn't provide the daily service that we needed. We're more to variety. Railroad wants to take unit trains. They want
right.
They
so
want to haul about 60 cars at a
right.
time. If you
yeah.
don't have 60 cars,
yeah.
you get in line. So when the transfer station was originally built, in 93, they had a contract with daily service. And how it was originally said is, Weber County had a transfer station in Ogden, Salt Lake County had a transfer station, and then we had a transfer station. They would pick up in Ogden, pick up in Salt Lake, pick up us, go up to ECDC and drop them off. Bring empties back, drop us empties, drop them off in Salt Lake, drop them off in Weber County. That worked well for about 5 years, and then they decided it was costing too much money, so they stopped sending freight lines and freight systems in it all.
down from that. Just didn't know when you're gonna have trains in my rail system. And it cost us, and it didn't cost us any more money to change the trucks. And that's the current section that we have. Right there is where we're going right today. That's a closed section, it's section sold. So we have 660 acres here that we can fill. These are all school trust lands, by the way. We're paying the school trust a fee every year to use these lands to do that stuff. We have an option on an additional 680 acres behind there, so we have about 1,300 acres of land that we can use for that.
What happens with a landfill when it's exhausted? Can you do anything with it after that?
You can do anything you want, so desire. Most of them find them back into natural habitat. You can plant grass on them or something on top of them.
Okay.
You don't want to.
That barrier now, does it drain well? That barrier
can be used
to
do that. Well, yeah, but what's on top of it right now will just drain well into the garbage. So it shouldn't affect plant growth. But we live in a desert, so you know, we only get 8 or 10 inches of rain down there. So it's kind of, I mean, if you go out there, you can see what vegetation is out there. It's not really
everything, not much.
It's not much, so that's what will happen.
So there's nothing being generated, but you don't bring that off.
We'll show you that here in a second. This is the 40-foot fence you saw in the other picture.
Well, that puts it in perspective, because that didn't look like that was out there.
And that's the picture on the right shows you, that's why we have that 40-foot fence with a lot of wind out there. And it keeps all of the litter and stuff inside the land. This is the new cell that we're digging. I've been in a shock, plus we moved that natural fence 2 years ago to this circle of new cell. This is nothing to make new landfill. The picture on the right is a methane gas system that we're putting in the landfill. We had a contract with a vendor that will collect the methane gas generated from landfill, clean it up, inject it into a gas pipeline. So that's one of the projects. And these are the tons generated by cities, or the percentage. You can see Cedar Hills. About 5,000 tons, about 2,500 of that is generated by your curbside pickup, 2,400. I think that was what it said, 2,400 or something like that. So the other 2,600 tons comes from CPS, comes from your citizens who use our facilities. Statistics for 2018, we're shooting 172,000 tons of MSW or household garbage, it's called municipal solid waste. We also landfill 117,000 tons of construction debris, a total of almost 290,000. Recycling, we recycle 8,000 tons, about 6%. That's not a true picture of what we recycle in our district, because the cities of Highland and Northwest Grove and Linden and the mountain are such as things. Their curbside material doesn't come to us. It goes to the project. This is, any of the slides on this program, I hope you understand this one best, because this is the one that's most important. You see in the gray, the public, you and I, when we go to the transfer station, we generate about 25% of the tons go through the transfer station. If you go to the next pie chart on the other side, we're on 63, it's almost 64% of all transactions through the transfer station are driven public. That's why when we come on Saturday or Friday afternoon or Monday afternoon, the line is back on. On Saturday, we'll be back all the way back down to the Amazon. Happens quite often. But that's our charter, you know. We're here to serve the public. One of our challenges is to find a better way to process coastal stream, not waiting for mines.
But you can see by that chart, the vital role with those municipal tons, or the tons that you folks generate to the transfer station, helps pay the cost of everything else. We didn't have the municipal tons, our cost way higher than that. Just for some information for you, when I started with the district in 2004, your tipping fee that you were paying the district was $32.60 a month. That included transportation and landfill. Today, the fee that you're paying the district is $32.56. So essentially, for 15 years, you have not had a rate increase. Probably unheard of anywhere else. Information for Salt Lake County, if you were living in Salt Lake County, that if the after landfills now is $30 after the landfill. So, versus 10 and a half.
Why is it the case?
Economies of scale. We are able to have economies of scale because we're kind of like one of two players in the game. Okay? And running a landfill or a transfer station, either one, is so capital intensive. The way you become economical is by generating more profit or transferring more tons of our products. The more you can transfer, the less expensive it is for us. Salt Lake County has developed to the point where they have 4 or 5 different transfer stations for this piece of pie. And if you have a capital cost that's set, you only have a fixed amount of tons that can provide you that just forces the cost. We're lucky in the fact we process a lot of tons through our transfer station with a minimum liability. I'm going to turn the title over to Craig. That's a little bit of history about what we do on a daily basis. We're glad to do it for you. It's our charter. We've got a lot of symbols there. And I'll be happy to answer questions.
I think you've heard the term iron sword. For many, many years, in fact, decades, the recycling industry sent all their stuff to China. Papers, plastics, whatever, cans, etc. China was welcoming the material. Well, 3 or 4 years ago, China announced that they weren't going to do that anymore. And they established a guideline that if you have any, basically, contamination in your waste, the recycled materials that come over to China, they have to turn around, put it back on the boat, and send it back to us. What that has done is totally flipped the recycling markets in the United States upside down. Basically, there are only two plastics that are recyclable now, aluminum cans, metal. In our house, we have junk mail Tuesday, and we get all the junk mail. None of that paper is recycled. And it has caused extreme amount of angst with the United States in the recycling market. There are two recycling companies, basic recycling companies in Utah, and we've not done a good job. We've done a great job of educating people to recycle. We've not done a great job with informing or educating people on what is recyclable today. It's hard to change habits. I was up in Seattle and we're in my daughter's house, my granddaughter's, a couple of weeks ago, and I looked in the recycling can. My daughter said, "What the crap are you looking in the recycling can?" I said, "Well, I'm just looking to see what stuff you put in the recycle can is going to end up in the landfill." It was about everything in that can. 70-80% of all the stuff from recycled cans are now ending up back at the landfill. We actually took some slides out that showed that in the spirit of time. And so it's caused great angst. We were at a conference in October where everybody was talking about this. What do we do with recycled materials? If you go to Wastewater, Roger and I went to a facility that was processing always. And they were doing it 40 times a day, and they were they had been producing the material that was a fuel, little pellets, like pellet like using Traeger grills, little pellets that they were selling, but the BTU value of those pellets was not high enough. It was less expensive to use other fuels. So they're changing their product to a Trexite material, and got some R&D issues with that material. It was melting and wasting away in the rain. So, but they think they can solve the problem. The United States doesn't have any great recycling facilities because they're all over in China. Well, development has started to happen in these facilities throughout the United States, but we're still 2 to 3 years away from them being constructed so that we can process recycled materials in an appropriate way. It's interesting, I think there's 6 facilities being constructed, 4 of which are being financed by the Chinese. This material that I read, which I found interesting. We still need to divert waste from the landfills. You saw the picture of our landfill out to Bayview section. That's a square mile. So we have actually have 2 square miles of landfill space. We have 75 to 100 years in each one of those square miles. So we have space for a long time. At 10.50 a ton, you can ask yourself, why should I recycle? Well, is this the right thing to do? It's going to cost us money to recycle. But it's a diversion from the landfill. So we're concerned about the horizon and the national sword and we're truly in an uncertain market. Two recycling companies that are in the long loss is trying to survive, frankly, financially. They still make money off of some plastics, some aluminum and steel and that sort of thing. But the other are struggling for areas. We do have as you go down the freeway by Nephi, you see the Coinware. That's recycled deck glass. It's going into that plant. Company known as Momentum, and you're along the Ross Edge Road. They'll pick up certain glass, take it down there, and it's recycled for material down there in the corner. We're just hoping that we need to be innovative in recycling. We encourage you to continue your recycling program. However, be aware the price is going up because the recyclers are not able to sell cardboard, paper, and other materials with the prices that they have been given before. We can give you history of the price of cardboard in the last 3 or 4 years. It's like mountain peaks. It goes up and goes down, goes up and goes down. All depends on what the market is. It's truly subject to those variations.
Is that the picture?
This is recycling kind of stuff coming back to the landfill. It's not a pretty picture.
Maybe as a dump trench, Jordan went from receiving one load a day of reject recycling to the settlement today, right?
Yeah.
And it's because of the market. The market's driving what's happening.
So, we want to talk about a little bit about the district has plans for the future. We need to be in this district as partners in the long term. The district board of trustees has absolutely established the basis for long-term viability, stable prices at both the construction and demolition landfill and Bayview plant landfill. We're talking about the price of $10.50. Let me give you an example. They have very big machines out there, and they're $1 million machines. We need the waste. They need to be operated 100% of the time for efficiency. And that's why Trans Jordan in the next 10 years, we'll be closing their landfill in South Jordan. All of their waste of approximately 300,000 tons a year will be going to Bayview. Davis County, Wasatch Integrated, has about the same amount of waste. They've got about the same life expectancy that landfill in Davis County. It's on the east side of the Yellow Air Force Base. Their waste will be coming too. We will have efficiencies that they do. Our price on the land, so it's fixed. It will go up with the amount of waste we bring, but accordingly, we'll have the revenue to cover that. And the only variation in the fee out there is the capital equipment and the manpower enrollment. There's nothing else. I want to talk about the methane project just a second. Roger glossed over it a bit. Henderson Engineering and Construction has a contract to mine methane gas that's being produced. They've been negotiating with Dominion Energy and Kern River to take the end product. They're excited about it. Trans Jordan Methane Collection Program has been around for about 10 years now. It was run by Granger. Granger Energy just sold it off to another company. I apologize, I don't know the name. They're providing about 8,000 houses worth of electricity for New York City with that methane gas. And this, the gas being produced by this landfill will be an ongoing project for many, many years. I asked an engineer yesterday, how long does it take for methane gas to start to be produced in a landfill? It's all dependent on humidity and moisture. Back east, it's very quickly, a year or so. Out here, it's a little more arid. It takes a little longer. But if you've got a square mile of landfill, organic waste, we're going to be producing methane gas for a long time. And we will be getting a royalty, which will offset the cost to the members of the district. So we're looking for long-term commitment in the district, that sort of thing. I want to briefly talk about some alternative technology. You may have heard there's a company going around that's from Germany. They're looking for a waste stream. They say they have means by which that they'll take care of your waste. They won't charge a fee for 20 years. And the amount of waste that we're producing, their production process doesn't seem to be able to take care of it the way it is. So they may come to visit you in the next month, 2 months, 6 months, whatever. They get out and about Utah County, Salt Lake County. Please listen to them. When you do, please call us back. We'll bring our technical experts to talk about the long-term viability and cost efficiency of this. Sandy City just went through a similar issue with an RFP about 5 years ago, and after the 5 years, the company couldn't produce and keep their commitments that they had pledged that they would commit. Unfortunately, Sandy never committed any waste or any money, so they unfortunately got burned economically. And they're part of TransJordan. We're happy to have them back there. So let's talk about e-waste. How many of you got a CRT screen at home in the garage? Anybody? Two? Three? Five? I had five at one time. Electronic waste is a real problem for landfills. We do not want to put them in the landfills. However, with the recycling market again, we have problems with it. How many are familiar with how much you pay for a tire when you go to the tire store to get a new tire? What do you pay extra?
$5 or something.
I think it's $2 a tire. But it depends on the tire company, too. I saw one the other day, they charged an environmental thing. $2 was for the state, $4 was for them. Tires were an issue. 15 years ago, we had thousands and thousands of tires laying on the side of inside buildings that were abandoned. And they would bring them in, store the tires, and then they would disappear. Landlord is stuck with thousands and thousands of tires. Well, we have the same issue with electronic waste. We should not be burying electronic waste. There's no effective way economically at this point to take care of it. There's a subgroup been created to look into alternatives to e-waste. and have been working with the League of Cities and Towns, the Association of Counties, and the private industry folks to figure out a way to make the handling of e-waste effective, efficient, and economical, because presently there's no great way. About 10 years ago, Representative Becky Edwards of the legislature sponsored a bill to charge a fee on the front end based on the concept of a TV or a computer or a CRT screen, that sort of thing. The manufacturer should be responsible for it from cradle to grave. Well, the industry got very concerned about that legislation, and Samsung and HP stepped up and said, don't cram legislation down our throats. We'll help you economically to do this. And to their credit, for about the last 10 years, Samsung is putting in about $500,000 a year. In Salt Lake County, HP has put in $250,000 out of Davis County towards the recycling in a proper fashion of electronic rights. Well, that God bless the private industry and their commitment to do so. One of the companies indicated that because of budgetary reasons, they're going to cut their contribution by half starting next year, 2020. So we give us some opportunity to figure it out. We're looking for models by which we can recycle e-waste and economic. One of the models that's been thrown around is similar to the tire fee. You pay a buck or two or 50 cents at Best Buy or Target or whatever when you buy an electronic product. That we send the money we send to the state. The state would manage the fund and do RFPs for grants for recyclers to come in and subsidize as necessary. That's what the tire recycling fee does. It incentivizes private industry to come in and recycle the tires, chew them up, and that sort of thing. Liberty Tire does it in Salt Lake County. So you're going to see some electronic waste modeling, but that is a critical problem that we have right now, is e-waste. And we had a meeting yesterday at the subcommittee, and we made a goal to have a model proposed to the state legislature by May 1st. I met with the state senator today, who's willing to preliminarily put it on the interim study list. He says, I want to see the model first before I jump into this totally, and I don't blame you. And I promise to give you something that is viable, and I hope that's true. So please keep that in mind. Utah County has, is it once a year or twice a year?
Once a year.
Once a year has an e-waste recycling event.
Actually, we don't do recycling. We recycle every day at the trash station.
Yeah, that's true. We have bins out there, we recycle it. But there needs to be a better way because it's costing the private individual more money than it should because the manufacturer should have some responsibility with this also. So we're trying to come up with a concept where we have this private-public partnership together. So we've talked about that problem. We don't have a Samsung or an HP in Utah County, and the rest of the state, they have nothing either. So this has got to be, we think there needs to be two solutions, a Wasatch Front solution and a rural solution, because there are differences, certainly in the state. Talked about that. I just want to talk about, you asked the question about What can you do with the landfill after it's filled? First of all, North Point has an obligation to monitor that landfill for 30 years after the closure of the landfill. Now, some of the uses back east and in the Midwest, they've been putting recreational facilities on them and parks and reforesting, open space and that sort of thing. Very difficult to put any structures on it because of the waste that's buried. We do have to put a cap on it when we close it and take care of the rain and that sort of thing. But we have an obligation. We actually put money in the state fund every year to guarantee that we can monitor it for 30 years. So that's an ongoing obligation for a long time. So This has been a model of life. Elton Center. Any questions or concerns that you have?
I have a question about paint.
Paint.
So I remember the one with paint. What's that?
That's household hazardous.
So Home Depot sells this powder, so you put inside your paint, it solidifies it in the can, turns it into a solid.
Well, it solidifies, you can put it in your garbage.
Then you can put it in your garbage, okay.
Or take it to the outside, dry out.
Dry out.
Yeah, and you can take it to landfill. We have a separate compartment for that. We'll take care of it. So, yeah. And solvents, pesticides, the same thing. We'll take all of that and we'll take care of it in an appropriate fashion.
Any other questions from the council?
Jackson,
anything else you wanted to add?
So, here, quick question. Sorry. I know we've been numbered right for a long time. Is that on a, I can't remember, do we vote for that, renew it, do we?
How long is the interval for it to get
voted
to? Through 2019.
Oh.
I was going to say, I thought it expired at the end of this year, and then there's a...
It's automatic two-year renewal for up to 20 more years, plus you opt out.
Okay.
So, another 20 years automatic?
Two.
Another two.
Oh, 2 years, okay.
We can't opt out. During those,
before those figures on that. Yeah, you have
to give
us 1 year's
notice, and then leave. And then you get the next year. Yeah. We're looking for long-term clients. We need your raise, and I don't see the need that you need us for responsible advice on for the long term.
Yeah, I recall working on it.
It's 5 years ago.
In that long?
It has.
So I didn't know what I was doing.
I got it with me if you want to read it. It's really boring. Yeah, it was 5 years ago. Yeah. We need the long-term relationship. And I'm here as a big act, but I can tell you that North Point and folks along the Wasatch Front really set up and positioned very well the communities for long-term, reasonable, municipal solid waste services. I mean, long term, it can't change. The only change is going to be the cost to get it to us with you. We know this.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for letting us know.
Interesting. Thank you.
Council, I'm going to need a short break before.
Mayor, can I take 3 minutes on something?
Yes.
Sorry.
As you know, in July, we last year, we settled the Cedar Canyon Agreement, and you may have heard we're working with that group as well as David Luther Holmes to sign that contract, that settlement agreement, development agreement with the design guidelines, CCNRs, over to be taken over the project we managed and done by David Luther Holmes. I'm giving you just an update that on Friday, the 8th, I've been looking at David Holmes on a list of deliverables for them. Most of them are very small items. They want to ensure that they want information about the bonding process. They want information about the process by which they'll take over the infrastructure. They want to know, they want to see evidence of the CCR. But one of the things they're asking for is that they want administrative consent that allows the rights of development to be assigned to David Luther Holmes. In the settlement agreement, it does give that power to the city administrator. And I just wanted you to inform that I am going to allow that assignment to occur this week. So if you have any issue with that, please let me know in the next few days. I don't see any issues with David Luther Holmes. Has been really great to work with. They're fantastic. I'm really excited that some of the improvements that we will be coming back to the city council for are actually upgrades for what the settlement agreement was. So I'm actually really excited about the quality of the development for the proposals. In the meantime, for the next few days, if you have an issue, I'd love to know about that. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, is there a motion to adjourn work session? I will move that we adjourn work session. Motion by Councilor Anderson, is there a second? Second by Councilor Ellsworth. All those in favor? Aye. Any opposed? All right, we are closed and we will be at the